You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Time for one of our regular segments where Alex talks to one of our most important minor parties and the political hot potatoes of today and tomorrow. Today, Alex chats with ACT Deputy Leader David Seymour, who is standing in for Brooke Van Velden, about the Tauranga by-election and New Zealand's foreign policy in the Pacific.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
Hey, well look, Simon Bridges decided to move back to Auckland after 14 years. People in Tauranga had to select a new MP, and there were really three candidates that were sort of widely reported and polled in double digits. That was the national candidate, a guy called Sam Ufvendale, and he's been elected pretty handsomely, got about 50% of the vote. There was a Labour candidate, Jan Tinetti, who was a sitting minister in the current Labour government and apparently a well-liked school principal in the town. And then there was ex-candidate Cameron Luxton. And you probably expect me to say this, but I actually think he was the winner in the way that is relevant to next year. Normally, in a by-election, if you've got a two-horse race, people back one or the other. 10% of people in Tauranga came out and voted for Cam Luxton. He did better on election day than in the pre-voting. He had momentum. He did 2.5 times better than in the 2020 election. He did better than ACT's party vote. And I think altogether it showed that, you know, ACT can put together a quality campaign with ideas that address people's concerns and recruit talent to put forward as MPs. So, you know, I think it was probably always going to go back to the incumbent party, but they'd held it for 14, 15, 17 years actually. But we're very pleased with the way Cameron Luxton performed for ACT.
And what part of ACT's platform do you think voters in Tauranga connected with most?
Well, I think there's really three things going on there. One is that Tauranga, like a lot of New Zealand, is facing a challenge from crime, particularly a challenge from gangs. You know, you've got people such as the greedy dogs who ride around like they own the place, peddle drugs and general misery. And people in Tauranga are saying, well, you know, what are some actual creative ideas to disrupt them? And, of course, we've said, look, fundamentally, as long as it's profitable, they'll keep doing it. So we've got to get better at taking the proceeds of crime. Similarly, Tauranga's in a very unusual situation with democracy. They've had their council taken off them. The government's installed commissioners. And not only installed commissioners once, but said you can't vote to elect a council at the next election either. People feel they've lost their democracy. And I think that's a concern. It should be a global concern, given the way that democracy is receding around the world. And one of the threats to democracy in New Zealand is this idea that political power should increasingly be hereditary. If you're tangata whenua, then you get seats reserved at the table, and a lot of people very concerned about that because we've fought for liberal democracy for hundreds of years in our society. Then the final issue is, again, these things are concentrated in Tauranga but exist everywhere. The lack of infrastructure, the fact that central government funding and local government planning aren't coordinated, has meant that a growing city like Tauranga really feels the pinch, a lot of congestion, a lot of frustration, very high house prices due to not being able to connect new ones. And so, you know, ACT's ideas of sharing GST on infrastructure, on new builds to pay for infrastructure, of having 30-year partnerships between each region and the central government to align planning and funding, I think those sorts of ideas are ones that resonate, not just for Tauranga, but are applicable in New Zealand and, in one case, actually a global issue now.
Right, interesting. So you think there's a wide range of issues that really connected with voters, and do you think those will be reflected in the upcoming election next year?
Well, things do change. Half a year ago, the number one issue people faced was COVID, or probably more specifically, the government's response to COVID was the number one issue that people were concerned about. We are now facing a hangover from that response in the form of inflation due to disruptions to supply chains and a lot of money sloshing around thanks to fiscal and monetary policy. a lot of probably overdid it on that. The number one issue is cost of living across the country, with a bit of crime and also the government's approach to co-governance underpinning that. So there's a couple of issues that, you know, you might not have thought would be prominent, but suddenly are. And I have no doubt that there will be more change before the next election. I think what is critical is that we need to start being proactive in tackling the problems that the country faces. And those long-term issues are around skills, around productivity. Those are the things that keep people engaged in society rather than committing crimes, that allow people to afford the things that they need. So in the long term, it's a story about skills, productivity, growth.
David and I then discuss New Zealand's foreign policy in the Pacific.
We have made a miscalculation in the Western world, thinking that if only we were, you know, kind to the CCPs of the world, then inevitably they too would adopt liberal democracy. If we just traded enough and treated them well, then they, of course, would see the wisdom of being liberal democrats. And the problem is, if you look around the world, there's a range of countries that are receding from liberal democracy, going the opposite direction to what we thought. And that means that a small, almost defenceless liberal democracy at the edge of the world has to really rethink what alliances we need and what actions we need to take. I think against that backdrop, the fact that we have a foreign minister who has only been overseas 3 times in 2 years, that's just extraordinary. Now, I know there's been COVID, but we chose to respond to COVID by isolating ourselves, even from our nearest Pacific neighbours and friends, when they had no COVID and neither did we. We still see, you know, New Zealanders can fly between the North and South Island, but forget Rarotonga. That was illogical. It's turning our back on our nearest neighbours, and those neighbours are now at least entertaining the prospect of building alliances with governments that just do not share our values, very close to New Zealand's sphere of influence. That is a problem. That is why there's a renewed focus. It's because of Ukraine immediately, because of the long-term miscalculation about liberal democracy, and it's because of the immediate situation around COVID that has left us exposed. The ACT Party says, and Brooke Van Gelderen, if she was here this week, would be saying, we should be out there leveraging our abilities. There's a huge Pacific diaspora that lives in New Zealand. If I was the Foreign Minister, I'd be ringing them up, I'd get the best Pacifica Kiwis from business, arts and sport, and we'd be going on a roadshow of the South Pacific saying, we're back, COVID's over, how do we work together to trade value for value and get stronger together?
One of the things that's previously been suggested by the ACT Party with regards to this topic is increased defence spending. Could you just talk about how that fits in with the roadshow and the more boots-on-the-ground foreign policy that you describe?
Well, I think that diplomacy and defence are ultimately complementary. You hope to use diplomacy instead. You certainly try diplomacy first. But ultimately, a country that claims a 4 million square kilometre exclusive economic zone where we want to protect fishing rights and enforce environmentally sustainable policies in that area needs the ability to actually get there. Right now, New Zealand has 2 frigates and they're scheduled to come to the end of their life and we have really nothing in the area of capable aeroplanes that can go and actually enforce power in that zone. So ACT has said, look, we need to get real about this. We need to start basic by rebuilding our ANZAC alliance. We need to increase our defence expenditure to 2% of gross domestic product, which is the Australian level of expenditure. We then need to go to the Aussies and say, look, we want ANZAC back. We want to build an independent but interoperable ANZAC Defence Force, and when you put the two countries together with a proportional contribution from New Zealand, then suddenly you have a defence force that is a little bit more credible and can actually project power in our region, which I think unfortunately we're going to have to do, because as I said, I wish that we were right 20 years ago when we thought human nature had changed, liberal democracy and free markets were going to sweep the globe, but you know, a large part of the world are turning away from those values. It's very scary for a country like New Zealand.
Obviously, with China's recent trip to the Pacific, Pacific nations did end up rejecting their multilateral defence and economic deal. I was wondering, what do you think the implications of that rejection are for our foreign policy? Is that perhaps a positive sign for our outlook on the Pacific?
Well, it's a great relief, and I just think, unfortunately, we're not in a position to take a great deal of credit for it, notwithstanding work that may have been done by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that by its very nature isn't always reported. But certainly when it comes to leadership from the New Zealand government, we really turned our back on them for 2 years. And the fact that they were even prepared to consider that deal, the fact that we apparently didn't know about it and found out about it only at the last minute, all of that is extremely worrying. And it shows that the political leadership in New Zealand is going to have to take a step up when it comes to connecting with our Pacific friends and neighbours. And how hard can it be? I mean, we have a massive Pacific diaspora. We're physically closer to them. We have a whole lot of cultural overlaps around, you know, playing similar sports and so on. We're also a democracy. So it shouldn't be difficult for us to impress upon these guys that, you know, we're their best partner. And yet, you know, we almost lost it, and we're going to have to do better.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.
That was Alex chatting with ACT Leader David Seymour in the place of Brooke Van Velden about the Tauranga by-election and New Zealand's foreign policy in the Pacific.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.